This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Dub Nation, it's Kyle Anderson. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Take it away, Bonte.
Kyle Anderson, my guy Kyle Anderson. All right, we got some news here. Chesko, I want you to read it in just a second, but let's pay some bills. Download the Odyssey app, 95.7 The Game. Thousands of other stations are, millions of podcasts are free on the Odyssey app. Sports talk, music, news, and great podcasts like Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys, all available. Follow your favorite teams like the Niners, Warriors, stations and radio shows like Steiny Goo. Brian Gesseiler on, and he gave us some very good Nucky Nugs. Very good Nucky Nugs. Now, you were looking for your 49ers helmet. The streets say, and when I say the streets, it's the Comcast Business text line. Now, I'm looking for the text here. Oh, 925, Comcast Business text line. You're looking for the 49er helmet, right?
Yeah, it's from the 70s, from my house.
Yeah.
I brought it here, and I thought it would stay here.
Well, 925, did Jude Willard go as Brock Purdy, Mark Willard's son?
Mark,
where do you think he got the helmet?
If he borrowed it, that's one thing. Did he?
Did Mark Willard give? Oh, I got a helmet for you. Don't even trip, son.
Can we reach out to Mark?
No, don't do that. It's just a joke.
No, he can bring
it back.
I have no problem with him borrowing it.
It's a joke.
It has sentimental value to me because it's from my family, and I kind of want to keep it.
It's a joke.
You know,
it's
a joke. I brought it in as a prop.
Mark Willard didn't do that.
He would. Did he?
No, he didn't.
Carter, can you text him?
No. Don't, he didn't do that.
We have bigger fish to fry.
Oh, wait, is that the helmet? No, that's not your helmet. It looks a lot cleaner.
Yeah, no, that's a two-bar. Yeah. That's yeah, like 80s, yeah, 90s. Yeah, no, that's yeah, not yeah, mine. Yeah,
I'm scared of Willard.
I rescind it.
He was really about to call Mark Willard.
I just want it back.
I preface it with a jokey joke. All right, let's get serious. 888-957-9570.
Right. Does this warrant
breaking
news? Your decision.
You know what? Just hit the sounder. No. Nothing's happened.
We're not
yet.
Getting Filipponied.
Oh my God! Remember, we hit the breaking news on the report, and I questioned it right away. I'm still mad at that.
All right. So, rival NBA executives believe the Warriors are "quote unquote" more willing than ever to trade Jonathan Kuminga, per John Hollinger and Sam Amick.
Sam Amick from The Athletic.
And John Hollinger, also from The Athletic, who used to run the Memphis Grizzlies, I believe. Rival executives believe the Warriors are more willing than ever to trade Jonathan Kuminga. What do you think, Warrior fans? Are you more willing than ever to trade Jonathan Kuminga? I think this has a lot to do with the money and the fit. And I think this is a lot of things. I don't think this is just like, do we like Kuminga? I think they like Kuminga.
Yeah, and I also think maybe the agent the other day kind of overreacting, maybe giving Shams that report about being benched, because that's what I'm hearing, that the agent's kind of freaked out. It's like, oh my God, you see this big old graphic, benched! Like he was out of the rotation or something. There's a number of things here. But I'm looking at the comments underneath this tweet. And automatically, there's like three. Giannis, he's a Bucky. Giannis a Warrior. Giannis coming to the Bay. So, I don't know. Are Warrior fans willing to do this? I don't know. Because here's the deal. This is how, if we're having a serious conversation, and we'll get to 4-down territory about 9:45, Spadoni. 4-down territory, 9:45. But for the next 24 minutes, I want to take calls from Warrior fans here on this team. And with the Giannis rumors swirling, and with JK, the upcoming money, how are we feeling about Jonathan Kuminga right now?
There's more to the Sam Amick thing.
There's more on it?
Yeah, okay. One named monitor, this is quote-unquote okay. Amick shared, one named to monitor is Jimmy Butler, 35-year-old Miami Heat star who league sources say drew interest from the Warriors during the offseason, did not come to terms on an extension. He will be an unrestricted free agent next summer. Now, he's 35, so that's Sam Amick is saying that, you know, that's a name to monitor. That's what it says.
And Pat Riley would love a guy like Jonathan Kuminga to pair alongside Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero. He seems like Pat Riley would know what to do with Jonathan Kuminga. There's no doubt about that. But I'm looking at Jimmy Butler. Okay.
Jimmy. I think that's playing with fire. He's really old.
The vibes are really good right now. Would you want to break up these vibes that they have right now for Jimmy Buckets?
Probably not. Especially because I don't want to pay, going back to the money thing, I'm not trying to pay 36-year-old Jimmy Butler $50 million a year, $60 million a year. That's not good business.
I think Wiggins
could do a lot of things Jimmy can do.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. He's a good player.
Price.
But can he play in a react system? He holds the basketball a lot. He's a ball pounder, Jimmy Butler. Pounds the basketball over and over and over again. Takes the air out of the basketball. I'm out on that one. I'm kind of out on that one. I'm out.
I don't think the Warriors are gearing up for a
Jimmy Butler type of deal. They want something bigger.
Plus, I just don't think the Miami Heat are taking Kuminga. I just know how they roll.
Well, no, they would like it. I think Pat Riley would love a Kuminga.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely. I think they love a Kuminga.
I think they would love a Pajemski. I don't know about a Kuminga. They're all about like max effort.
Yeah.
You know.
I think Kuminga will give them that in South Beach, though. You know, I don't think effort's a problem with Kuminga. It's just about knowing where to go, knowing how to play with others. It's just redefining his skills. You heard Reggie Miller over and over on the TNT broadcast say that he's not polished offensively. He's got a lot of talent. Sky's the limit for him, but he's not polished.
Okay.
Effort with Kuminga, I've never walked away from a game saying Kuminga didn't give max effort.
No. I don't think, maybe I miss, the word should not be effort. I think they love high IQ half court players.
I mean, right?
With very specific skill sets. You know, Hawkes had a great year last year for them. You know, obviously know that they got some bad deals on their books too. Like I don't know.
I think Spoelstra and Pat Riley would love a Kuminga type player.
Well, does that maybe tell you shouldn't make the deal then? If Riley and Spoelstra like him?
I mean, think about it like this. It's not just that. It's you get a young asset in Jonathan Kuminga. Not talking about him as an asset like we were talking about earlier, but just a good player that you could buy low on, and you give him a team-friendly deal, and you say, okay, we can see what he does for the next 3 years with the Bam Adebayo. I think they're so out on Jimmy Butler. In a way, his act is worn thin down there. You heard what Pat Riley said in the offseason. We out here talking trash about the New York Knicks. We got our ass kicked. What the hell are you talking for? Shut up. What did Pat Riley say? We should pull that quote. Pat Riley basically was like, yo, shut up. Like, dude. And so Jimmy Butler wears people out. It's a reason why he's been on so many teams. On this team with the vibes being so good.
You know, for him to say that, you know, I thought, is that Jimmy trolling or is that Jimmy serious? You know, if you're not on the court playing against Boston or on the court playing against the New York Knicks, you should keep your mouth shut in your criticism of those teams.
Pat Riley's a godfather. He don't play that stuff. So if it's for Jimmy Butler, I like the player. I do, Shasky, but that's a tough one for me. That's a tough one. Let's go to the lines. BPA, Brian and Palo Alto. What you thinking here?
Yeah, I don't view this as this is not a buy low, sell high. I mean, you know, if you're going to get Kuminga, you basically need to commit to a $40+ million a year deal for his extension.
That's the way
because
I'm viewing it.
Down 30.
I agree with you.
He turned down 30 with the Warriors, so you're not going to get Jonathan Kuminga. Unless he has Klay Thompson's agent, you're not going to get Jonathan Kuminga on a team-friendly deal with the Heat.
But
right?
What if that changes,
because
though?
He would be taking.
What if that changes after the season where he's like, you know what, I want to stay here, and the number does get lowered?
I mean, if we could get a legit or like even hypothetical second option for Kuminga, that would be a dream come true. There's no scenario where I'm comfortable paying Kuminga even $25 million personally.
Would you be?
He's not a consistent player. He does not show up a lot. He can't shoot still. And, you know, he's just not a player you can rely upon, right?
But is Jimmy Butler the answer, though? BPA, Jimmy Butler's the answer?
No, probably not. And, like, yeah, like, I'm not saying, you know, I'm a huge Jimmy Butler fan, but, like, you know, I think the deal with Kuminga, and, I mean, if you take the, you know, the vibes coming out of, you know, unnamed sources and such, that, you know, the Warriors don't believe that this is a guy they want to pay a lot of money to. And I completely agree with them. I don't want to pay a lot of money to him either, because he's just a guy that's just not going to show up a lot. And if you're going to pay $30, $40, $50 million to a guy, that guy has got to show up 82 nights a year.
I don't agree with that 100% here with Kuminga. I think he's better than what we're giving him credit for. That's just my opinion.
I think Jimmy Butler is where I draw the line of no.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like Giannis, yes.
Right?
And then like there are other players that I would obviously consider, but Butler, because of the age and his attitude, like he always plays nice for a year or two.
Yes.
And then it like unravels almost immediately.
Great playoff performer too. I'll give him credit.
Well, what would a lineup look like with him, Draymond, and I mean defensively, they'd be awesome.
Did he get along with Wiggins in Minnesota?
Well, that's what I was gonna say.
Yeah.
Like, what's a lineup look like with Steph, Wiggins, Draymond, TJD, and Jimmy Butler? How does your half court look there?
Doesn't look bad at all. And the game does slow down. And the game does slow down in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But how did he get along with Wiggins? I don't remember the Minnesota situation.
Didn't he play with a Rolex on and kick the crud out of all those guys?
He did. With a bunch of bench players? Wow. It was a scene, no doubt. Let's go to Muhammad in Elk Grove. Muhammad, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I think Jimmy Butler, first of all, he's not the answer. This guy is a locker room killer. You saw it in Minnesota. You saw it in Philadelphia. And right now, it's kind of starting to unravel in Miami. But when you go to Giannis, you look at Giannis, that's a guy you're willing to shell out every asset that you've got for. Anyone not named Curry could go in that trade. Curry's been traded the last couple of years of his career. Same with Draymond, because you're probably not going to include him in that. You're looking at a package of probably Wiggins, Hodge, Kuminga, first-round picks. If you can get that deal done, you do it. No questions asked.
Yep. Let's go to Jason in Philly. Jason, all the way in Philadelphia. What's up, Jason?
What's up, guys? I hope y'all having a great Friday.
I
just want to give a shout. What's that?
Having an awesome day. Sorry to cut you off there.
Good. No, you good. You good. I just want to give a shout out to Jonathan Kuminga's jumper. I appreciate it for being broke yet another season, because it will finally, hopefully, in this two timeline travesty and get a real player in to help Steph. I don't think Jimmy is the right fit, but in the playoffs, he shows up big time. All his shooting numbers go up, all his points per game numbers go up, and he can operate well in the half court, unlike JK. But if they can pull a miracle, and I'm not betting on it, but if they can pull a miracle and get Giannis, it'd be amazing.
All right, Jason. That's Jason in Philly.
I feel like Kuminga's somewhere listening to that, like, y'all ain't got no love for me? Like Snoop Dogg at the Source Awards?
All right.
I mean, dude. I was like, damn. He's like, shout out to his jump shot. Dude, it stays broken.
Dude.
It's like, wow.
Like, dude, the guy shot.
That was a dome shot.
I mean, just a straight up dome shot. As a 20-year-old, Jonathan Kuminga shot 37% for the three-point line, two attempts per game.
He's not a great shooter. I'm not looking at the percent.
He's not a great shooter. The mid-range jumper, though, is not bad. The midi, the fadeaway, gets to the cup.
Elbow in.
Right.
He's not bad.
He's not a great three-point shooter right now, for sure. You want to see Jimmy Butler's numbers for the three-point line?
Oh, no, he's never been good, but he gets to the free throw line a lot.
Right. And Kuminga on this team gets to the free throw line. I don't know. Hold on, real quick. 650. I told y'all about the secret Giannis and Steph meeting in Milan this past summer. Y'all laughed at me. It's a stronger possibility now that the trade might happen. 650 888 957-9570.
Put your name on it.
I would like you to call in.
Even as an anonymous account,
yeah,
call in.
Call in. Use a fake name. Use a fake voice. I don't care. I want to hear from you. I want to know about the secret meeting then. Let me know about
it. I've heard
rumors.
Dude. Hi, this is Tiago, yeah, Tiago in Palo Alto.
Tiago couldn't quit the show. Tiago.
He's Tiago. I totally forgot about that.
He used a number name at first.
He was never going to listen again.
Yeah, he used a number name. He goes, I'm going to the other station. I'm seeking your ratings. And then he came back like 2 weeks later. I love BPI.
We'll seek our own ratings.
I have a big mouth.
Some say we may have. Listen. I want to hear from you, because there was rumors. Giannis is in the marina right now looking for houses. Remember those rumors?
Well, I mean, him and Bryce Harper were looking together. They're going to buy a duplex. But here's what I would say. I remember the day the Chris Paul trade went down with Jordan Poole. I said, God, we traded a 40-year-old point guard to receive a 40-year-old point guard, and we traded away a 23-year-old player. Like, just say that out loud.
I know.
It's not really a great trade.
No.
9 out of 10 times.
No, it's not.
Okay? So let's say this one outside.
But it was a money move, though.
36. Stop. 36. I love you, but stop.
It was a money move.
Okay, great. It was a bad trade.
Yeah, it was. 36-year-old
Jimmy Butler for 22-year-old Jonathan Kuminga. Yeah, I think we need to aim higher.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. 650, I would like you to call in. 888-957-9570. Oh, 510, BPA was Gary, then Tiago, and then gave up.
He should call in as the Zodiac next.
No, don't.
What?
Don't.
That was 1968.
Stop it.
People are still haunted by that stuff. They're still haunted by
it. I watched the Netflix doc.
They're still haunted by it.
The guy passed away.
Yeah, but people are still affected by that. They're still affected. Got to leave that alone.
My dad was a mailman during that time. Scary hours.
Yeah, you got to draw a line, dude.
That's the 60s, Montana. 60 years ago.
Great movie, though.
Frankie Albert played in the 50s. We always reference him.
Yeah, but I'm not walking around like, Frankie's going to get
you. Well, no, you bring up, Frankie Albert, when he lined up the shotgun to do, anyway.
He's also a Marlboro pitch man on the sidelines wearing a suit.
What is going on here?
Frankie Albert.
Let's
just coach of the Niners.
I don't want to be associated with that. Coach of Vallejo. Coach of Vallejo. I get the most heat on the show. With the Twitiots and the DMs and stuff, these guys will take what you say and throw it at me and just, oh my God, it's unbelievable sometimes.
Sorry, if you're not fascinated by the Zodiac.
No, I am. I watched America's Most Wanted growing up about the Zodiac, but I'm not going to reference anything to that compared. Anyway, let's go to Coach in Vallejo. Coach, what's happening? Just leave it all.
Good morning, guys.
What's up, Coach?
Hey, good morning, guys. And, you know, Bonte, I think you let me give you credit for coming to Jonathan Kuminga's back, because he's always being attacked. And Shasky, you said something that kind of broke my heart. When you start talking about Jonathan Kuminga's IQ once again, okay, there's nothing wrong with his IQ. This is basketball. He plays the game differently than Brandon Jim Podziemski. Totally different type of game. Now, the other night, Podziemski tried to call a review with an 18-point lead with 5 minutes to go in the game. If Kuminga would have done that, you would have been talking about his IQ. What kind of IQ was that? Which Steve Kerr laughed at Podziemski and said, what the hell are you talking about?
Right.
Now, also, Kuminga's jump shot is fine. But you don't never talk about, again, Podziemski shooting, which is a horrible shot. He was one of the worst shooters in the league last year, 44% inside 3 and 10 feet, 66% from the free throw line. But you never mention how bad he is as a shooter. Kuminga is a different type of player. Now, true enough, he may not be the type of player the Warriors like,
right,
but he will be fine under Pat Riley. He's a great ball player for what he does. Don't expect him to play or the game like Podziemski, because Podziemski cannot do what Kuminga did. What Kuminga did with Ingram the other night and put him on roller skates.
What Kuminga did
coming across and blocking the shot, going down court,
throwing the lob.
Yes.
Hey, that's not the first time we've seen him punk Ingram, too. He's done that a few times against the Pels.
Coach, I want to make sure I clarify something. When we talk about sports IQ or whatever it is, right? Like Alex Smith, I always thought was really book smart. I didn't think he had great football instincts at all. He would always throw short of the sticks, and it drove me nuts. Some guys have varying degrees of awareness and instincts and feel for various systems. So, for example, when I'm questioning Jonathan Kuminga's And I threw IQ, but I meant more like his feel for the read and react system. It's year four, and it still feels very, very, very clunky. Some guys instinctually understand where to be on the floor. Pajemski's one of those guys for this team. What would pods look like in Miami? A lot different, let me tell you. A lot different. I'm just saying, like, clearly something's still a little off, and it's a little, it doesn't look great at times for long stretches for John Kuminga.
Well,
and
two games,
I do not think his jump shot is that great.
Well, the last two
and
games,
I like him.
Well, the last two games, he was just fine. He played his role, played his season high minutes, and he was awesome.
Off the bench, Kuminga, as a four.
But who cares if he starts or comes off the bench? But Kuminga just told us that, Coach. He doesn't care if he comes off the bench or not. He's trying to play basketball. He gets his minutes. You play hard. You play fair. It is unfair because I hear things about articulating. Like, oh,
no,
Kuminga
no,
can't articulate.
No,
I know you didn't say that, but I hear that stuff. We got to be careful with this stuff here. Go ahead, Coach.
Yes. Finish. You know, he made a play the other night that no warrior I've seen make in recent years. He blocked the shot, grabbed the rebound, dribbled down court, threw a perfect lob to Jackson Davis. I mean, that play was Michael Jordan-esque, okay, or Kobe Bryant-ish. No warrior can do that. So why would you give up on this guy? He put Ingram defensively. He had Ingram befuddled because of his speed. What other guy, 6'7", can guard guards, point guards, that Pajemski can guard and stay in front of him? So why would you ever want to give up on a young player like that?
Because he wants $40 million a year.
Well,
because you have to fit everyone under the salary cap. Like, there are other elements at play, not just do I like the player.
Well, he's betting on himself here. He's betting on himself. So let's go to Tuzi. Tuzi in West Oakland, out there in the West. What's up, Tuzi?
What's up, man? What's up, fellas? How y'all doing,
man? Oh, man, it's a great Friday.
It sounds like I hate on Brooklyn.
No,
I'm going to let him finish. But it sounds like people think I'm, like, attacking John Kuminga. I like John Kuminga. I wish he would have signed the $30 million a year deal. I honestly wish he would have taken that deal. I think it would have been a solid deal for everyone involved. Look, all the money is astronomical. I just don't think he's worth $40 or $50 million. I don't. That's just me.
Could he be
you
worth 40? Could
honestly,
he be worth? Could he be worth 40? Could he be worth 42 years from now?
Maybe.
You're betting on prospects. You're betting on potential. Let's go, Tuzi. It's your time.
I feel like everybody hating on him, but at the same time, you got to realize, just like you said, he's 20 years old. He's still learning the game. You know what I'm saying? And if people recognize, not too long ago, Zion Williams, he was still learning the game, and everybody was hating on him. You feel me? But I feel like Zion Williams got, if not the best shooter in the game, he can still learn from him. Yeah, he's asking for money, but at the same time, just like he said, he's willing to sit on the bench and give him his PT.
Yep.
Give him his PT, and that'll help him learn the game. You know what I'm saying? He got, just like I said, if not the best shooter in the game, the best facilitator in Draymond Green, so he has the mentors that he needs to really learn and develop the game. You know what I'm saying? I don't feel like people should be hating on him. Yeah, his jump shot ain't right, but he has the best shooter in the game, if not one of the best shooters in the game. You know what I'm saying? So people need to relax. I'm a diehard Warriors fan. I've been a diehard Warriors fan since Latrell Sprewell, Tim Hardaway, Joe Smith, all of them. I feel like people should just relax and let him play his game and learn his game. You know what I'm saying? Learn his position.
Good call, Tuzi. Look, Kuminga, he may not be a fit here. He may not be a fit with the Warriors. That's what these first 20 games out, but you know, Sam, maybe John Hollinger reported that the Warriors, let me get the exact verbiage here. It basically said that rival NBA executives believe the Warriors are more willing than ever to trade Jonathan Kuminga. Now, it could be other executives just whispering, trying to put pressure on the Warriors to make a deal, to kind of force their hand with Kuminga. We shall see. We shall see. This is what we do know. Despite conflicting reports, he was part of the Clippers Paul George deal. Just conflicting reports. But from what I heard, he's going to have to be part of the Utah deal for lottery marketing. So, who knows with Jonathan Kuminga? He's a solid player. He's in his fourth year. He's still raw. I expect that from a 22-year-old who hasn't had the chance to play as much as his contemporaries in the same draft class. Why? Because you got Steph, you got Dre, you got Clay, you got these veterans, you got Poole, you got everybody. Wiggins, of course, blocking him from starting here. So he may have to get dealt. Who knows? But I think he should be a solid player. Let's go to Elijah in Silver Creek, Georgia. Silver Creek, Georgia. Where's that at, Elijah?
That's northwest between Atlanta and Chattanooga.
Ah, okay. Huh. Oh, I like that. There's a Chattanooga in Georgia?
No, Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Oh, wow. You guys are that close?
Oh, wow.
Holy smoke. Yeah. Man, I got to get out to Georgia.
I got to look at a map.
Man, Tennessee, South Carolina. You guys can drive everywhere down there. All right, good, good. I'm a geographer.
Yeah,
I love geography. I'm always looking at a globe, teaching chess, where to go. I love geography. Anyway, go ahead, Elijah. Dude, that's...
I'm feeling obligated to call. You know, I love Jonathan Kuminga. Love watching him play. I think his sky's the limit. We look at so many players who develop their game as they get in.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
And turn into all-time greats, and I think that could be him one day, but I think the bottom line for us as Warriors fans is that he is still raw. He is still a project that needs to be worked on. And every year, Curry's window is coming closer to ending, and we need to win now. And I think that Giannis is a proven commodity that really adds to what we need. So a player like that, I'm not sure about Jimmy Buckets just with the injury issues, although Giannis has had his own. But JK just isn't going to push us over the edge, I think, with how competitive the league has gotten. And so we need to package him and consolidate and make some room for more minutes for all these players that are balling outrageous in our deep team.
Good call. One thing that I've taken away from this, Shasky, is that Jonathan Kuminga is a fascinating conversation. It's just a polarizing figure here to go to say in the Bay Area, man. People love him. People don't love him. People want him traded. It's just and what he represents with the whole two timeline thing and all that stuff. By the way,
I don't think that's his fault at all. Right. I hate hearing that.
No, I don't.
I honestly feel bad for him with that.
It's a polarizing. He's a polarizing.
I know, and I root
here.
For him.
Yep. So
I wanted him to take the $30 million, and I understand.
Right.
Like. I get, like, all these guys need to make the extra. Every million is a million that, Joe, you would take every dollar. I get all that. But also, like, there is a level of compromise. And you have to also look out into the future. So I'm, like, looking out here, like, all right, is Atlanta, I'm just going to do hypotheticals here, $38 million a year, the equivalent to playing for the Warriors at, I don't know, maybe if he views Atlanta as a situation where he can get 37 minutes a game, maybe that is worth it for him. I can't speak on his behalf.
Yeah, I
just know that, like, what they've got going right now, something's got to give. Either they've got to give in a little and just adjust some of the stuff they do to fit what he's doing and meet him a little down the road, and then he's got to dedicate himself to the things that they're asking him to work on. He's got to rebound better for them. Yep, like, that's what they're going to focus on.
And I'm sure he's trying to rebound better.
I think he does.
But rebounding is so different nowadays because everybody's hoisting up threes and there's long rebounds, so a lot more guards are grabbing rebounds or whatnot.
Yeah, but he doesn't. So, that given that point, he in particular is a leaper, not a boxer outer. And boxer outers put their butts into someone no matter where they are on the court. Like, Draymond is great at that.
But also, let's study that. I want to study this a little more with Kuminga moving forward in terms of his rebounding. What if he's defending somebody on a perimeter contesting shots? And now we're asking him to go grab a rebound. What if he's guarding the Lucas and, you know, the Brandon Ingrams and they're taking jumpers, you're contesting and you're boxing them out and somebody else is grabbing a rebound? Like, we don't know where his positioning is at all times. We got to study this stuff before we start saying, well, he's not a good rebounder. What if he's, we're asking him to defend on the perimeter?
Monte, there's a difference between, you know, what Draymond's being asked to do and what Kuminga's being asked to do in terms of defense. That I grant you. But then why do I see guys who are significantly smaller and less athletic constantly get the hustle play rebounds?
Well, maybe,
like, those guys have a knack for it.
Well, maybe Kuminga's boxing out, the guy he's contesting the shot on, and then they're telling him, we need you to run down the floor as soon as possible. You're the guy who's going to run down the floor, and we're going to look for you up the court. And Kuminga maybe is guarding on a weak, or excuse me, Podziemski maybe guarding on a weak side, grabbing these rebounds. Look, I understand your point, and I understand how, you know, I don't understand how Pods is grabbing more rebounds than Kuminga or Wiggins or whatnot. Hell, I think he's grabbing more rebounds than Draymond Green.
I'm a big believer in rebounds. You know? There's two elements to rebounding. One, some guys are just instinctually excellent at it. Secondarily, it's will. Like no Draymond is, he isn't a great rebounder, but he clears boards out by boxing dudes out so that others come in. Look, we've never questioned ever on air, Draymond's not a good rebounder.
Yeah,
like,
no
we
doubt.
Don't, because we know by the eye test that this guy, he's battling.
Know what he does defensively. Maybe Kuminga is doing that too, as well on the perimeter. You're asking him to guard Brandon Ingram. Who's the guy in the Clipper? At times you're guarding James Harden, right? At times you're guarding Winter, Norman Powell, who went crazy on Sunday against the Warriors. But right now you look at the rebound leaders. Looney with 8, Wiggins with 6.7, and then there's Pods with 5.6, and then there's Stephen Curry with 5 rebounds a game. And Stephen Curry's always seems like he's in the top 4, top 5 in grabbing rebounds. TJD right now, 5 rebounds. Draymond, 4. So look, team rebounding, they've been really good as a team rebounding team. So I do want to focus on Kuminga. Over these next 5 games as a show, as an audience, let's focus to see where his positioning is rebounding-wise, and let's assess it after this 5-game road trip. Really eager to see that because there's some tall trees are playing. By the way, I want to clarify something. Look, the reason why I asked if there's a Chattanooga in Georgia, because how many people would know? No, seriously, question about geography here. I got an A in social studies. I love social studies.
I did?
No, I did.
Oh,
somebody
else. 415,
you thought Chattanooga was in Georgia. How could you love geography? Well, there's a lot of people who don't know there's 2 Pittsburghs, right?
Well, there's a zillion Springfields.
Right.
For
exactly.
example. Yeah, no, I.
You know what I mean? So I'm just wondering, wow, is there a Chattanooga? I didn't know Tennessee was that close. Now that I think about it, yeah, Tennessee's right there. There's South Carolina. Anyway, that's dumb. Let's go to Tim and Riley real quick. Okay. Tim and Riley, what's happening?
Hey, Tim.
What's up, guys? I know y'all are running up against the clock. I just wanted to say, look, we all know Kerr has never really truly, truly embraced Kuminga. It's no big secret. I mean, if I'm Kuminga, I'm literally out there every night playing to my best of my ability for others to see me play. Like, he's not going to be here. And we know that. Like, think back to KD and Kerr and how that relationship was fractured, right? Kerr is not an isolation type player, which is ironic to me because he played with Michael Jordan and he fed and ate off of Michael Jordan, but he's not an ISO type player. Like, that doesn't vibe with him. And I mean, so, and that's Kuminga's strength. So for whatever reason, he's never funneled the offense through Kuminga. He's never empowered Kuminga. He's never, like, remember the other night Kuminga got it in the post and then Pods make that quick cut right off of him? He's never done that stuff with Kuminga. You guys remember 3 years ago, y'all thought I was nuts, but in the Chicago game when they ran the pick and roll with Kuminga at the top and Curry came and set it for him, Kuminga was like a rookie. He could have been doing that stuff with Kuminga from early in his career. He never did it, guys. So if I'm Kuminga, I am at peace. I am playing for others to see what I can do. And unfortunately, guys, if Kerr hasn't embraced them, thus the fan base is not going to embrace them. And that's just what has happened. We all know, look, we're in political season right now. There are a lot of followers. There's a followers mentality in this world. So if Kerr is not about something, people don't even have to know nothing about Kuminga. It's just if Kerr's not about him, they're not going to be about him, guys. We see this every day in our walk of life.
Tim, so before you go.
It is what it is.
Tim, before you go, I do want to make a point. I 1,000% agree that there are little wrinkles that they could do to tailor the game to make it a little better for him offensively. He does have an element where he can pass a little better than people give him credit for.
Doubt.
He had the little give and go the other night that he's referencing. Mm-hmm. He had a couple of really nice plays with Lindy Waters going backdoor well.
We've seen this in the past. Him and Wiseman, we thought the 2-man game between Kuminga and Wiseman was going to be excellent.
And not to get all conspiracy, I truly believe that Draymond likes to suppress the 1-4 pick and roll, and that's why he doesn't want Kuminga playing the 4 because it's going to eat into his value. That's going a little deep, but I honestly think they shy away from that because I don't know why. I think
good
Draymond
call.
Has a lot to do with that.
Good call, Tim. Really good show. Fun show. Fascinating show. Trade rumors are swirling. What are the Warriors going to do? 5-game road trip. I'm excited about this one. Tomorrow night starts in Houston. Then they go to the nation's capital to take on the Wizards the day before Election Day. Then it's Boston. Cleveland, and OKC. We're going to find out a lot about the Warriors over the next week. We got football. We got a bye week with the Niners. They'll be back at practice next week. But Seahawks, Rams, Packers, Lions. Oh, we got some action, baby. Commanders, New York Giants. Division games are different, right, Spadone? Fast Five.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
What you got, Shasky? What you got?
My final thought, I'm going to go see City College versus Skyline, women's soccer today. Go see my my niece play, and I love watching soccer. And then tomorrow I got Reardon versus Sarah, the little alumni barbecue. It's going to be fun. Got a big weekend.
Now you love watching soccer.
Going to do a little. I've been to more soccer games this year than you. And then
gosh.
I went last week as well.
Oh,
and
I watched more soccer.
On Sunday, I'm doing a little umpiring out in Pacifica, so that'll be fun. Doing a little umpiring. Yeah.
All right, what's the strike call?
What, my strike?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so weak.
That's for one.
What about out?
Oh, out.
No,
is,
no.
Ah,
wait,
got him.
Give me the strike three call.
Oh, strike three? Well, it depends. If it's little Timmy and I'm red, strike three. You know? Strike three. But if it's someone who thinks they're sweet, got him.
Oh,
go sit down.
You're the worst. You're the worst, man.
Gotta be funny. My other favorite one.
I actually want to fight you right now because of that.
Play at first base. When yep, got him. You gotta do the fist pump with the yes. Got him.
Oh, man.
And then my other favorite one is on a tag play. Ball, show me the ball. Got him.
All right. I've got to shout out a game I'll be attending tonight. The Bruce Mahoney game. I didn't even go to St. Ignatius. I didn't even attend Sacred Heart Cathedral. But as a Washington Eagle, we always went to the Bruce Mahoney. We actually printed up fake tickets to go to the Bruce Mahoney. We shout out to Igor Spivak, the front office, who worked at Kiko's during high school. And we had that plug right there. Bruce Mahoney game. Who's going to win it? Is it the oldest rivalry west of the Mississippi?
It is.
High school football? So the Bruce. One leg of the Bruce on the line tonight. I'll be at Keysar today. Spadone, Carter, what you guys got?
What I got is, I'm on tank watch, boys, already for the Las Vegas Raiders. So right now, they're number six, according to Tankathon. So we got Carolina with the number one pick currently. We got Tennessee. We got New England, Jacksonville, New Orleans, and Vegas. So of those teams right now, and we'll see with New Orleans because they still got Derek Carr under contract. I don't know the logistics of that. But I know Jacksonville's locked in Trevor Lawrence. And I know that New England's locked in on Drake May, who's actually looked pretty good at times. Tennessee and Carolina need quarterbacks, though. Raiders need to lose and to keep losing. And I'm going to need Carolina to get one more win because they got the head-to-head over the Raiders.
Would you take Bryce if you couldn't get one of the top two picks?
I'd rather have Anthony Richardson than Bryce Young.
Oh,
yeah.
That's rough.
But that's where I'm at. I'd rather have Anthony Richardson than Bryce Young.
Rough.
He's shown me more. He's actually won games.
Interesting.
What you got, Kata?
Kind of want to
chew. Hell, I'd rather have Will Levis than Bryce Young.
Will Levis is
take
the...
Take Shador?
No, that's exactly what it is. Like, the latest mock, I saw that the Raiders got Jalen Milroe in the top 10. I was like,
I like Milroe.
But I'd rather have Cam Ward-Shedeur. It feels like it's starting to be a two quarterback draft. Yeah. And if you don't have the top two picks, it's going to be tough.
I'm all about Shedeur. I do like Cam, though, but I'm all about. I think Shedeur is going to be an excellent quarterback.
Quarterbacks having a flip phone.
I agree, Bonte. He's going to be good.
Yeah, well, we know about that.
That's why I love Brock Purdy.
Oh, gosh.
You know? Guy represents corn.
But yeah, you don't know if you want to pay him. All right.
That's a different question.
I'm on a different kind of watch than Spadone. I'm on NBA's Most Improved Player of the Year watch, okay? And I made a call on this show a long time ago that Moses Moody would be Most Improved Player this year. The odds were plus 10,000 by Vegas standards. The two most favored to win that award were Wemby and Jonathan Kuminga. And both of those two, their numbers are... Kuminga is pretty much the same as he was last year as far as most improved, and Wemby's numbers are down. Mark it in the books. Get the tape. Moses Moody, most improved player.
I like that. I like that.
Currently, the odds right now, according to DraftKings, Jalen Green right now, leader in the clubhouse, plus 800. Cade Cunningham, who's actually looked pretty good. Pistons have one win, I think.
Barely played in the last couple of years.
Plus 850, but he's looked good.
I think that's why part of the most improved part.
Yeah,
and then
player.
You got Chet Holmgren and Evan Mobley at plus 1200.
I love Chet.
Chet is so good.
He's so much better than I thought he would be.
Yeah, same here. I thought he was going to... I wasn't impressed.
Well, he was skinny.
Yeah. Oh, how about this one before we leave? 6'5'0". Trey Lance to the Raiders?
Ooh, this is the ghost of Trey Lance.
The reverse Jim Plunkett?
That was Fast Five brought to you by Xfinity. I like that call. At home or on the go, you get the fastest internet to all of your devices. Have a great weekend, everybody. It was a lot of fun this week.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll off of?
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.